You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Zach's season of The Bachelor and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 323. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Good show for today. First-time guests from the Bad TV podcast. It is Dylan Wren and Patrick Hickey. We're going to talk about how they got started covering the shows that they do, and we're going to talk some Bachelor. Patrick's got some interesting things that he wants to throw out there and how the Bachelor can improve itself. We kind of go back and forth on those things. Really funny guys. I think you're going to enjoy this one. It's Patrick Hickey, Dylan Wren from the Bad TV podcast, and we will get to that momentarily.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. Our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So a couple things that I want to go over before we start with this podcast, with the Bad TV podcast, guys. The fact that the podcast has been going up a little bit late the last couple days, don't really know what to say about that. It's uploaded at the same time, whether it's the Daily Roundup, which is set to upload 6:30 Central Time every morning. The Sports Daily uploads at 7:40 a.m. Central Time. And then this one goes up at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, basically all within an hour of each other. But the last couple days, the Daily Roundup and the Sports Daily have not been going up within 20 minutes of when they are uploaded into the system. It's been taking like an hour. So I don't know. It's just a glitch in Apple Podcast system or whatever. But hang in there. They will eventually get posted. So like I said, hang in there. You'll get your podcasts. Thursday, obviously a busy day with three podcasts going up within 2 hours of each other. So last night, in case you missed it, late last night, Hannah Ann Sluss got engaged to her boyfriend, Jake Funk, who is a running back in the NFL. I believe he's on the Indianapolis Colts right now. Last year, he played for the Rams, got a Super Bowl ring. He got released by the Rams this year. I think he got picked up by New Orleans at one point and then went to Indianapolis. I think he's with the Colts now, but something could have changed since the end of the season. But they got engaged last night. It was on their stories. In case you missed it, went to bed early, whatever the case may be. Congratulations to Hannah Ann and Jake Funk for being a newly engaged Bachelor couple. Another couple in Bachelor Nation decided to have another baby, and that was Raven and Adam. So I think that was a couple nights ago that she posted that they are now pregnant again with their second child. Gates is their son, and they are pregnant now with baby number two. They're going to have two under the age of two. So good luck to Raven and Adam with that. The Daily Roundup is up in your podcast feed by now. A lot of talk on the Daily Roundup today in regards to ratings a little bit. Talk a little bit about the challenge, special forces. Do talk a little bit more in detail about not detail about Hannah Ann Sluss and Jake Funk's engagement, because I don't know anything about it other than what they posted last night, but more about the history of Hannah Ann Sluss within the Bachelor franchise. And one thing I even forgot to mention on the Daily Roundup was the whole finasco down in La Quinta. Do we still even know to this day whether that was her on the golf cart? I don't even know. I'm so lost on what's real and what isn't in regards to that. If that was her during Claire's season that people thought that she was going to be the Bachelorette and then she never appeared on that season and people are wondering why she was in the cart, and then some people saying that wasn't even her in the cart, it was a producer. Who knows? I'm so confused, and you know, it was 3 years ago now. I don't even care if it was her or wasn't her. But again, congratulations to her and Jake for getting engaged last night. The Sports Daily is up, and that is talking about some crazy-ass conspiracy theory going around regarding Damar Hamlin, which is just stupid. A NFL contemplating possibly moving the AFC and NFC championship games to neutral sites. We got a lot of quarterback movement happening this offseason, and it's going to be really interesting to see who ends up where, because it could really shape the balance of power in the AFC and the NFC. And then also the All-Star games for both the NFL and the NBA are within 2 weeks of each other. The NFL quote-unquote All-Star game, which is the Pro Bowl, is on Sunday, February 5th, and then the NBA All-Star game is two Sundays later on the 19th. And both of them are making some pretty radical changes to their games. So I talk about that today on the Sports Daily. And for those that don't listen or care about sports or whatever, that's fine. But it is a separate feed that you have to subscribe to for it to show up in your podcast feed every morning. It's not part of the Reality Steve podcast. It's separate. So I tweet it out every day. I put it on my Instagram story every day. Check it out. Subscribe to it. Please rate, subscribe, and review. And it helps, because this podcast is only 3.5 weeks old. So trying to build it up, trying to make it as big as we can, and go from there. But yes, it's been fun. Has 11 podcasts a week been a little bit more than I bargained for? Yeah, it has, but I'm going to keep it going. I like doing it, and like I said, we're back with your regular columns. So in addition to the 11 podcasts a week, you're back to your recap on Tuesdays, your reader emails on Wednesdays, and then your podcasts on Thursdays. So always look for that. Episode 2 of The Bachelor coming on Monday. That's where we're going to get a group date to start the season where Tazwan, Victoria Fuller, and Courtney Robertson show up as quote-unquote guest judges. The rapper Lotto is the one who sings Big Bitch Energy. She's the one who hosts the date. And then Christina Mandrell has the first one-on-one of the season. And then, God, what's the other group date? That's not the puppet one, is it? God, I'm already blanking on what the other one-on-one, or what the other group date in episode 2 is. It's in the spoilers. Again, if you're interested in the spoilers for Zach's season, you just go on, if you're looking at my website on desktop, just go to the top of the page. There's a tab that says spoilers. The drop down will say Bachelor Zach spoilers. Click on that. If you're on mobile, same thing. There's a tab that says Zach spoilers. Click on that. It'll bring you right to the last column, which shows all your spoilers up to the final three, which are Ariel, Katie, and Gabby. I don't know the order yet, and I'm hoping to find out, obviously, sometime before the season ends. Sometimes I find out mid-season, like I did for Rachel and Gabby last season on The Bachelorette. I found out, I think, week 5 or so, and just kind of take it from there. I never know when I'm going to get the correct info. Obviously, I've heard things for ever since filming ended in right before Thanksgiving in mid-November, but just looking to get stuff confirmed, that's all. And you have every single elimination up to that. I really want to find out also what happens in London, because that's obviously a major storyline. So if you want to check out the spoilers, they're all there on the site, and the spoiler tab is in, whether on desktop or mobile, you can get right to it by clicking on the spoiler tab. This podcast is brought to you by Trivia Star. If I were to ask you to name a movie by John Travolta or Tom Hanks, could you answer it in under 15 seconds? If the answer is yes, then you need to play Trivia Star, like me. I've been playing it nonstop. It's a free mobile trivia game with over 60 different categories that you get to choose from, including music, TV, animals, celebrities. If you choose the correct answer from multiple choices and beat the clock, you move on to the next level. It sounds simple, but obviously the questions are going to get harder over time. If you get stuck, don't worry. You can use coins and gems to get hints and beat that level. If you love trivia like I do, you'll love Trivia Star. Right now, Trivia Star is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. I've just kind of been going crazy on this thing. My categories are TV and sports. Those are the two that I really go after hard because those are probably the ones I know the most about. Sometimes I get stumped, but I got to say, I've been really good at it. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, they're going to offer you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. Trivia Star has thousands of five-star reviews in the Apple Store and is the number one trivia game on the App Store. Download it today to challenge yourself. Go to the Apple or Google Store and search for Trivia Star. Download Trivia Star for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles. Also, if you love Jersey Shore, get ready because this season is going to be the biggest family vacation ever. Thursdays, the family is traveling from shore to shining shore, but don't worry, no matter where they go, they're born to be Jersey. They're hitting up Hollywood to support Vinny as he takes his talents from Vegas to Dancing with the Stars. Then they're cruising to the Carolinas for a big situation as Mike competes in the Cornhole Championship. And it all leads up to a big trip to the Big Easy where the fam jerseys up Bourbon Street. Don't miss your favorites. Fist pump their way across the USA. And be there for all the meatball milestones. We're talking pregnancy announcements and even an engagement. You don't want to miss this. Make sure to watch Jersey Shore Family Vacation. All new premieres tonight. 8/7 Central on MTV. And also, if you love The Real Housewives, you're going to love. Get ready for The Real House Guys, because on Friday nights, MTV is getting fabulous. Another new episode tomorrow night, 9/8 Central. MTV is taking you inside the lives of six fierce West Hollywood friends on The Real Friends of WeHo. Like celeb stylist Brad Goreski, go inside his marriage and see a side of himself you can't miss. Performer extraordinaire Todrick Hall, ready to tell his side of the story. Television superhost James Vaughn, taking his career to the next level. Rising actor Curtis Hamilton. Boss CEO Dorian Renaud. And major social media influencer Joey Zazig. Watch as they balance life in the spotlight and give a true VIP access into their lifestyles, their ambition, and all the shade that you can handle. Don't miss The Real Friends of WeHo, all part of MTV's new Friday nights after RuPaul's Drag Race. New episode tomorrow, 9/8 Central on MTV.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, let's get going. Here we go. Podcast number 323. All right, let's bring him in. We are joined by the co-hosts of the Bad TV podcast. It is Dylan Warren and Patrick Healy. Guys, thanks for coming on. First time.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Steve. Big fan.
Hey, so I want to get into just immediately. I know you guys are huge in the Below Deck world, a show that I have not watched 5 seconds of, but I got my first taste of at least a character on Below Deck when I watched The Traitors this past couple weeks on Peacock, and Kate Chastain was on that show. she seems like somebody that should be on a Housewives show, the way she kind of handled herself on that show and carried herself on that show. But that's the only that's the only experience, or that's the only time I've been exposed to anything below deck. Dylan, what should I know, if you could summarize basically, I don't know, in a paragraph about Kate Chastain and her life in the below deck world? What has her character been?
Well, we refer to her as the Queen of the Sea. She is a top bitch on that franchise. She is excellent at her job, as chiefs do, and she should be a housewife. It's a no-brainer. She should have been a housewife yesterday. But the show is essentially just subjecting the wealthy to incompetent 20-somethings with wanderlust, and they're all pretty bad at their jobs. They all have pretty significant drinking problems and or parental issues, and it's a marvelous show. There's way too many spinoffs now, but Kate was the person that kind of shepherded it into the zeitgeist.
So Patrick, is this a show where, I know of the show, I've heard it, I read enough tabloid entertainment sites to see names and show titles pop up and stuff like that, but I've never watched it. Is it literally just about a cruise ship crew and they just follow them around, or am I off on this?
No, that's exactly what it is. So you generally have a 7 to 9 person crew. There's the deckies. They work on the outside of the boat, and then you have interior, and you know, they take care of all the housekeeping and work with the chef. And it's really just about the dynamic of, you know, working on these luxury yachts where people pay $60,000 sometimes a day for this experience, and sometimes up to 3 to 5 days on these boats. And the show just kind of follows, like, I don't know if you ever worked in a restaurant, Steve, but I had, and it's not that dissimilar. Like, everyone's hooking up with everybody. Certain people hate each other because they think they're lazy or whatever. And then, of course, you have the captain, who's like the boss running the whole ship. And it's just that dynamic. And they have 5 versions of it. And somehow they're kind of pulling it off right now, you know, entertainment wise.
OK, so this is not like Virgin Cruise, Carnival Cruise stuff. It's yacht stuff.
They call themselves yachties. Yeah, this is where Chrissy Teigen and John Legend do in the summer. This is what they do. They don't. Yeah, they're not on a Disney cruise with, you know, with those endless buffets with eating sea bugs and thinking it's classy. No, this is like a 5-star experience, or it's supposed to be. But as Dylan said, I always laugh. It's subjecting the wealthy to incompetence, like, because it never works out, because a lot of these people are just running away from something, from their lives in whatever country, and they come here and, you know, they go to a 6-month yachting school, whatever, and they throw them on one of these boats where people are paying all this money. And yeah, it's just fun to watch. I'm getting a little burnt out. I mean, 5 versions of this show to recap is a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, let's move on to Bachelor stuff. I'm just curious, and I'll start with you, Patrick, of where you guys are in the Bachelor world in terms of how long have you been doing this? How long have you been covering it? What got you into covering this show? Or is it just because it's under the title of Bad TV? You love covering trashy reality shows.
Well, Bad TV's our newest, I guess, our newest podcast, because we were actually going to leave The Bachelor in recapping it. We'd done it since 2017. I'm not sure if you knew this, but we all worked in some capacity for podcaster Adam Carolla. So there were 3 of us initially, and we were just friends, and we started it out. Hey, let's just find a way to tell our girlfriends that we're going to do some work, but in reality, it's just to talk about a stupid reality show and make fun of it and have a good time with your friends. It later turned into a business as Bachelor seemed to kind of explode with podcasts and, of course, all the social media. Our first season was Nick Vile.
Gotcha.
And that seemed, I know you cover a lot of this stuff in depth, but to us, and me having watched the show for almost since its first year, I've missed a couple seasons, but for me, that was like the apex of that show, where everything was coming together. It was, you know, the news was covering it on social media, and we just popped in right at that time.
Gotcha. All right. So you guys have pretty decent, I mean, you, Patrick, like you said, you've watched it a lot. You just didn't start talking about it until 2017. Dylan, same for you, or are you more of a latecomer?
You know, I was kind of, what's the word, is it tertiary? I popped in and out. I think my first season was Ben. Incredible. Just a demigod looking young man. I've been watching since JoJo Ben kind of era. Okay. And it's gotten, you know, we'll talk about it, but it's reaching its old Yeller phase, I fear, or has been there for some fucking time.
Well, I mean, we could go there right now. I mean, we'll go and talk about the premiere episode and what we saw on Monday night, but let's just go there right now. Dylan, starting, you know, with you, you talk about it being in its old Yeller phase, meaning you think it's on its last legs and we're about to put this thing down and euthanize it, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah. So what makes you, I mean, are we talking about for network television, you think it's not long for ABC and this will move on over to Disney Plus like they did with Dance with the Stars? Or do you think that this is just, we're done here?
Well, I think that it will have kind of its, I don't want to keep talking about dead dogs, but I was going to continue with that metaphor. But yeah, it'll go through some kind of chemo behind a paywall, I think. And then eventually it'll flame out. But the problem with the show is this just resting on their laurels kind of thing, which is one part, you know, an adherence to its tradition, which forever, whatever that's worth. And the other side is it's just apathy and lazy. I mean, Fleiss has done nothing to make this show more digestible for newer audiences who are looking at reality TV shows like Love After Lockup and Love is Blind and Fuck Hotel Island or whatever they're called. And they're just better shows. They tried it with Two Bachelorettes, but we always joke that the production of this show, they must have one of the most bloated budgets, because these people, if it's a meritocracy, they should be fired. There should be a turnover every year that is extremely prejudicial because they're just really, really bad at their jobs. Case in point, hiring this cornstalk of a human being to lead the show in what is its 78th season. It's just not adapting at all.
Patrick, you and how do you feel about that? And
I'm a little,
you want to add on?
I'm a little bit more optimistic about the show. Look, Mike Fleiss, for probably 15 years, got to walk in his yearly meeting with Mickey Mouse and put a cigar out on his desk and say, fuck you, this show makes money and we are killing it and we're not changing a thing.
Yeah.
Then, just like everything else, it just runs its course, yet they don't take any steps to kind of evolve it. But in reality, I don't know what they could do. As Dylan touched on, you know, you had the Two Bachelorettes. What's better than one bachelorette? Two bachelorettes. Okay. We watched Paradise, Bachelor in Paradise. Hey, what's better than 20 people on a beach? Hey, let's have 50 fucking people come down on that beach and then make it last till Christmas. I was honestly buying Christmas presents watching Bachelor in Paradise, right? So it's like the more is better kind of thing. I actually think with this season, with Zach and Steve, again, you're the expert on this. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. I think they are going back to tradition. Like, I read an article where it was funny, they were saying Zach's AI. And yes, if he was created in a lab, for me, it was his protocol was he was designed to bore people and put them to sleep. But boring may be good because this harkens back to more of the early 2000s, where it's kind of a boring bachelor and nothing really crazy happens in the house. And I guess what you're trying to get back, which I think the show initially for the first 10 years, we were always into it because we were emotionally invested in that the two people would actually fall in love and have kids. Now, I heard you say on a recent show, and I've forgotten about this, Sean is the only bachelor that is married to the girl he picked.
Yeah. They're one for 26. Yeah. They have more success stories of guys who dumped their girl that they picked and went to the girl that they had at number two, which is Ari and Jason Mesnick. They have two successful relationships there. Ari is still with Lauren and they have kids. Jason is still with Molly and they have kids, and they only have one that is still with the woman he chose in the end. It's pretty fascinating. And yet, here we are in season 27, 20 years
and
in.
And if you want to talk about batting averages, there's a reality show called Married at First Sight where I looked it up. They have 8 married couples that have children. That show's only been on for 4 years.
And these are people getting married at first sight. Like, no dating, nothing. Just, hey, you're married, and then we'll take it from there. Yeah.
Exactly. They throw them right into it. So I think this season is searching for itself and its beginnings, and it's hoping – because look, if you look at the cast, I think I only saw 2 people that listed their occupation as social media concept or creators or whatever. A lot of nurses, a lot of people that actually seem like they have, you know, jobs that they wouldn't leave to go do a segment on Extra or E, you know. So I think that's where they're bringing their show back, and I'm rooting for them. I hope they pull that off. But didn't you say, or I think I read an article you wrote that said Zach said this isn't going to be the most dramatic season, but it's going to be the most emotional or something to that effect.
Yeah, he's been saying that in his interviews promoting the season. Yeah.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I don't know if it's true. I mean, we'll see as the season goes on. I mean, he can say it all he wants. I mean, I just know that the show really loves to focus on the drama within the house, because when people do talk about this show the following day, very rarely are they talking about what the lead did the night before. They're talking about what the women did in the house. Who talked shit about who wore this dress, who's the villain, who's the drunk girl. Like, that's who you talk about the next day with your friends. You don't talk about, oh my God, what a romantic date they went on last night. Wasn't that wonderful? Like, nobody wants to see that. We want right. conflict. We want some sort of cattiness in the house. Because if you give them a season with no cattiness and, you know, 30 women, well, 20 women after night one, all get along, like, okay, then where's the drama? Like, this isn't fun. So I guess it's just a matter of how they present it, and does it overtake and overshadow any love story that is happening? I guess that's the way to look at it. I mean, would you agree, Dylan?
I mean, I'm not as optimistic as Pat. I don't mean to be the cynic of the bunch, but I just I don't see how this show can't. I mean, getting back to it, the vet bill is going to get very expensive very soon.
Well, okay, so do you have anything in mind about, like, because they are a network show that has done this for over 20 years, this is season number 46, 27 Bachelors, 19 Bachelorettes. It's like, okay, what can you do 46 seasons in? You don't want to take the whole framework of the show and flip it upside down. You got to keep it basically the same with one-on-one dates, group dates, and rose ceremonies. Like, I don't think that part will ever change. So what can you do to change it without necessarily changing it?
Well, alcohol would help, but Corinne and DeMario fucked that whole thing up.
Yes.
But I really should throw it to Pat, because Pat is the Fleist of this podcast. And Pat has tweeted at Mike Fleist from the Twitter handle Patrick 6515759 many suggestions on how to change this show for the better. So he can take this.
Okay, yeah, Pat, I want to hear. What have you thought about that you think could help without literally flipping the show on its head?
Okay, so one is, why not a show that starts right after the Bachelor chooses who he chooses, and you film them, right? So we're capturing, and that actually ends up being part of the season of the Bachelor season. So say it's 8 episodes of him choosing, and then we see once the choice has been made. So now they're living with each other. Now
it would have been great to see Rachel and Guadagnino, or whatever his name was, I completely forgot, from last season, what happened post the show. We just got a sloppy kind of melodramatic argument that took place over the course of 20 minutes, wherein I think he took his shirt off because he was too hot and nothing really got resolved. We would have liked to have seen all the nastiness of their infighting post, you know, the meaningful proposal.
Yeah, so you add 4 extra episodes on, and it's 4 episodes of seeing all the turmoil of, now you guys get what you wanted, you picked who you wanted, now you're living with each other, and I don't know, maybe put cameras in the house or whatever, and you start seeing them get annoyed with each other or whatever happens. But I think that would help the audience be more emotionally invested in, because yeah, it is like they go dark, and the next time we see these people are 3 months after they chose one another. And they're either broken up or it didn't work out, or it's a mutual Instagram post saying, well, fell in love, that light love is now dimmed, or whatever the hell they lie about.
Yeah.
But yes, that's one of my ideas. The other one throws it upside down, Steven. You may not like this one if you're a purist, which is, all right, this is more kind of copying like Temptation Fuck Island or something, which is, we have a bachelor and we have a bachelorette, and we run the season simultaneously in the house. So then all the people that are vying for the love of the bachelor or bachelorette, now they're in the same living quarters. So you have 50 people living together in a house, and you're going on all these different dates. And I think it'd be fun to see if there's any romances that take place between, you know, the contestants.
Okay. Hadn't heard any of those. So as I'm brainstorming this in my head while you're speaking, let me flesh out. Let's start with the first one. I don't think the first one is possible, for the sole reason that in this filming of the couple to be together, it'll get spoiled. So the first 8 episodes almost become
who irrelevant. Who would spoil it?
God, I don't know. Me.
And you know what, Steve? I gotta say, when we were covering this show in the early stages, and we'll get back to the pitches, but you're, like I told you before we started, you're kind of a white whale for the podcast and for our audience. We have scorned your name because you've ruined the suspense for us. So there's no way that we have to see what you said. But the more and more we covered the show, we really came to view you as a Joan of Arc type character, where you're doing
the Lord's work. The Lord's work, yes. Just saying,
yeah,
I'm doing the Lord's
exactly.
work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, and I've said this numerous times, is that there's nothing in my life that I want to be spoiled about. I don't read the end of books. I don't want to know what happens at the end of a movie before I go see it. I don't care to know about any spoilers for any of my other favorite reality shows, Survivor, The Challenge. I don't want to hear what happens on any of those. This is the only thing in my life where I don't care, because I've always said this, that the end result, knowing what the end result is what? Okay, a relationship that's probably going to fail anyway. So what does it matter if you know beforehand? That's the way I've always looked at it.
I was going to say, the through line of all the things you said, aside from Bachelor, they were meaningful. your books and your shows and stuff like that. Just go ahead and say it. Who is your deep throat? How are you doing this?
I obviously can't say
yeah,
that.
Obviously.
And hey, I don't even know. As of right now, I don't know who wins this season. I know who the final three are. And look, the final four, the hometown dates, again, some seasons we get no footage and people don't see them out. But all 4 women's hometown dates, I believe except for 1 this season. So 3 of the 4 were caught by people with videos and cameras. So you automatically, if you follow it online at all, you're going to get spoiled just in that aspect.
Right.
Because in hometown dates, they're usually out in the people's hometowns, and it's almost like impossible not to notice them, because unless it's in like LA or New York, for the most part, these are smaller hometowns. It's like, okay, well, if a camera crew's coming here and we know that one of the girls on this upcoming season of The Bachelor is from that hometown, not hard to put two and two together. But this season, no. I don't know who the winner is just yet. I know who the up to the final three. I know who gets the overnight dates, and then from there I'm still trying to hopefully find out, you know, who he's with.
Let's set the over under of you knowing what happens at 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
So getting back to Pat's pitches, please critique.
Okay. So the first one, I don't think it could happen because that post show, that post show relationship would end up getting out unless they literally never left a house and everything was filmed inside of a house. But if you're filming them in their everyday life as a couple post show, there's no way someone's not going to find out about that or see them filming and be like, oh, okay, why is Rachel hanging out with Tino when the show's over? Oh, because she picked him. And so I think the only way to do that would be film your regular season, show it, and then the Rachel Tino experience and the Rachel Tino relationship wouldn't air until like the night of the After the Final Rose. Hey, tomorrow night, tune in for a 3-episode show about how Rachel and Tino have been going since the show. It'd have to be split up. You couldn't air it consecutively is basically my thought process on that.
Yeah, not well.
The second one, I don't have enough time to think about this, but off the top of my head, it's just an idea that would flip the show. It wouldn't be The Bachelor or The Bachelorette anymore because
many
singles would hook up with each other. Then it'd be like, okay, well, then why were you really into the lead, or you just wanted to meet a bunch of other singles? And then it's like, well, is this The Bachelor or The Bachelorette? That's the way
it becomes Fuck Hotel Island Paradise in Thousand Oaks or
pretty much. Yeah. So, okay. What other ones you have, Pat? I'm sure you have more that you've tweeted at Fleiss from your burner account.
that's all I have. I will say this though. Last year I tweeted at Mike Fleiss. I said, I make money off your show, dude. Your show sucks. You need to reinvent it. I said, how about two bachelorettes? And I'm not sure if you read my tweet. But that's what happened, and that show was a disaster. I actually think that should have been Gabby's season because I think she really was into it, unless she's fooling me. But I thought Rachel was unneeded for that particular season. Those are my ideas.
Okay. I mean, they're not. I mean, look, something needs to be done because as you and I talked about kind of before we went on air here, talking about Monday night's episode, the first episode is just, there's nothing they can do differently, and they haven't done differently outside of the season where they had Caitlin and Britt as the two bachelorettes and the guys had to choose. And then last season with Rachel and Gabby, it was, the dynamic was a little bit different because the guys had to talk to two women that night instead of one. But when you have one lead and 25 to 30 men or 25 to 30 women and 30 women, as was the case Monday night, it's like, what else can you do? Okay, here's Zach on his intro package. We find out he was in a band in high school, and here's Sean Lowe coming to talk to him, and here come the women. Here's the intro package. Here they come with their limo exits, cocktail party, rose ceremony. We're done. I don't know what else you can do unless I'm missing
something. So they really haven't innovated, but what they've done is they've kind of cleaned it up. So if you notice, no girl showed up wearing a dolphin costume.
No.
You know? So they're taking themselves a little more seriously. There was some of the jokiness. I mean, a girl did show up in a party bus, and she's a drunk, I heard. Allegedly. So, but other than that, that was like pretty much like it was back in 2007, 2008. And now also, rather than stay at a gross rundown resort, we're back on helicopters and in different countries. I think I counted 4 different countries. So yeah. I think the budget's back, and I think they're throwing everything at this. And they picked a very measured bachelor, which I was confused by the choice, but actually after watching the first episode, I'm like, you can't have another meathead misogynist womanizer like Clayton, who's going to sleep with every girl. So that's what I think the changes were made in the production offices. Will it work? I don't know, but I will go back to my pitch to you, Steve. If it doesn't work and the ratings take a nosedive, What do you have to lose? Fuck it. Put 50 people in a house and just see what happens. People will say you've turned into Fuck Island or whatever, but who cares if it makes money on a Monday night for ABC? I don't think they care anymore either.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, yeah, we do have locations this year. There are only three episodes that are going to be in LA next Monday and then the following Monday. And then they go Bahamas, London, Estonia, and then Budapest. And then they come back to the States for hometowns, and then the overnights and final rose ceremonies in Thailand. So it's definitely going back seemingly to its roots. I did notice, like you said, very few gimmicks on the limo entrances last night. Very few props. A lot of women actually exited the limo. I only counted 3 of the 30 that did something where they didn't actually step out of the limo, like, you know, come up on a tractor or something like that. There were only 3. Two walked up the driveway, and then Christina came on her party bus, and that was it. And then of the 27 women who came out of the limo, no costumes, a couple people had some props, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is so over the top, this is ridiculous. It seemed like it was, let's maybe get rid of the gimmicks. And maybe that is the where we're headed. And they really are going to try and stick to a calmer season, I guess. I don't know. But definitely toned it down last night on the limo entrances, for sure.
They're trying to class up the joint, because the gimmicks are, I mean, you know, I don't, we're not.
Have any of it ever been funny? I mean, no.
Well, they've never been funny, and the people that do them are usually gone post-haste.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get it that you're from Idaho. That's why you came on that tractor. But you're going to be gone in an episode and a half, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And you can't, I mean, I'd love to do the breakdown of it. I'm sure somebody out there has at some point, of if you do a major gimmick, if you bring a major prop, or you arrive on something that isn't the limo, how long do those people last on average? You know, it's
right.
Probably not very long.
And if you're thinking of doing that spreadsheet, don't.
Yeah.
Because it's just a waste of time. You just don't care as much about this show.
So,
Steve, I have two questions for you.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if this was you that did a spoiler on it, but it sounds like you. Did someone, in fact, bring a How to Win the Bachelor book on this show?
I thought that was last season.
No, I think someone did it on this season.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, is that one of the women was caught reading the Game of Roses How to Win the Bachelor book on the show. However, the one thing I don't know is if this is even going to be shown, or if it was even a major storyline in the house. I just know it happened. The book was there and someone was reading it. So my guess is this show would not want to give attention to a book that literally makes fun of this show and basically calling it a game, when this show, while it is for entertainment purposes, they still want to sell you it's all about love and these people are all serious. So why would they draw attention to a book that basically calls it out for, this isn't serious, this is a game, this is fun to these people, here's how you can last long, just do this, 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 and this, and all that. I'd be shocked if it gets shown, but I do know it did happen. So
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What's the second question? I'm sorry. Then.
Yeah.
What was your favorite season that captivated you? Because I have one for The Bachelor or Bachelorette.
I think the first one that really stuck out to me was, and this is probably, and this is predating, well, it's predating Dylan, but you'll know because you've watched most of the seasons. I thought it was Brad Womack's first season, just because he got to the end and is like, yeah, I'm not digging either of you. Bye. And he just decided, no, I don't want to choose either of you because I'm not ready to get married to either of you. Now, maybe he could have been talked into at least dating one of them, but the fact that he was just like, nah, I got to the end, when we had, you know, I don't know how many seasons were before Brad's first season off the top of my head. I want to say maybe 12, 13. Just the fact that he got to the end and basically through the whatever rule book we thought there was, he threw it out the window and just said, nope, I'm choosing neither of you. I just thought that was kind of fascinating. That was the one that really jumped out to me.
Great pick. I remember watching that finale, and I remember the next day the fallout. Like, I was watching Ellen DeGeneres.
He was public enemy number one. He was the most hated man in America at that point. Like, everyone thought he was the rudest person in the world for just being like, why do I have to choose anybody? Who says so? And then, but yeah, he was crucified for that.
All right. So I have three. Bob Guinea, just because he was like a frat boy being a pig and just living its best life. And he didn't really care either. And I heard he actually had the highest rated season as well. I'm not sure if that's true.
He might have. Yeah.
And then, I loved Caitlin Bristow's because, you know, it's whenever they kind of balk convention and they break the rule book in half and then they just go, no, I'm going to invite a person. Hey, you walking down the street, come on over here. You're good looking. All these other people are dweebs. Which she did with Nick Vile was amazing. And I also loved Juan Pablo's season. And I think those are probably my top three. Dylan, do you have any?
Yeah, Dylan, who are yours?
We went back in the vault and we watched Juan Pablo's season, and it's just, it's so problematic.
was it? I mean, I watch every season once. So I'm just, I remember things that happened, dates here and there, but looking back on it now, you said you went back and watched it. What was problematic about his season? I know one line that comes to mind when he told Claire he loved fucking her, but that was about it.
He loved fucking her or loved him, her sucking his dick or something like that. Yeah, it was awful. But I think I might be coloring it with the accusations of his homophobia, which I guess came out.
During the press tour. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But yeah, just lots of it's okay. The stuff with Claire was probably the thing that made it the most problematic, but there were also. It was like The Bachelor didn't handle a particular mother who was on the show very well. Like there's a really, really awkward scene where he goes to hometowns and he goes to the kids' Little League game. And
yeah, I remember that.
It's just so brutal. But it was a fun season. It was more entertaining than, you know, I don't know. At least we weren't stuck at La Quinta throwing up like plywood carnivals in by one of the janitor's closets and inviting the family.
Yeah. I mean, that it is weird because we got to that Claire season was the first one where we had Claire at La Quinta. And then the next season was Matt James at a lovely resort in Pennsylvania, right. But it was a resort that was so far excluded from seemingly the world. They were at Nemacolin. And then after Matt, it was Katie's season, which chose to, you know, look, no shots at Albuquerque, New Mexico, but it was shot in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then Michelle's was at Palm Springs as well, but then, you know, moved to Minnesota and actually got to Mexico for her final rose ceremony. So at least we started traveling. But my gosh, crazy to think that.
I also don't think those seasons were cast great. I mean, I empathize with the production a little bit because it's a little bit of guesswork, although I don't think one scene of Clayton doing okay with kids and crayons was a like punch the ticket. This is the guy kind of moment, but that's their choice. But Matt James and Katie, I mean, it just, they were not good leads, and the whole racial breakdown with Matt at the end where he refused to even be touched by the woman. And then the night after they were probably at Soho House together. And now that I think they're still together, it left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. The show's just gotten worse. It's gotten worse.
Now, you guys will be covering this weekly still. You just say that. And I said, and so you guys will be covering this weekly, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. We'll be covering it weekly. Cause we're kind of like Opus Dei, like masochists in a way. Like we want to hurt ourselves a little bit. I don't know why. We need to go to a therapist.
Well, what is your, Pat, what is your audience in terms of when they respond to you guys, the way you react to the show, which is pretty similar to the way I am. I'm not watching the show because I want to see two people get married or fall in love. I mean, if it does, it's like a bonus. And like I said, I've always said, I don't think the show cares either. If they do get a love story and a couple that lasts, it's a bonus. Because clearly having a successful couple come from the show does not equal how long you stay on the air, or else this thing would have been canceled years ago. I mean, clearly success stories don't equal amount of time you get to stay on network television. So what are you watching for? Just the silliness of it all?
To drag the people. We have absolutely no reverence for the show. And I think that is what grew our audience, because a lot of people were like, some people still had their hearts into it, where they're like, oh, I believe everything that these people are saying. And we kind of always looked at it as, these people want to be on TV. This will be over in 3 weeks after filming. And so we took a kind of a cynical kind of approach to recapping it. And a lot of people were like, you know, I guess very early on, we realized we had something, because people were being like, I'm so glad there's a podcast out there like that, because all the other ones are earnest. And, yeah, you know, and I don't know how those people still do it. I don't know how you can talk about this show with any reverence, you know, as a job. I don't know. We couldn't do that. I mean, if you paid us $1 million, maybe we could fake it. But could we do it?
Yeah, I think we could fake it for $1 million.
Yeah, I think it's one of these things where, and again, this is something that I've always said. I mean, obviously, we just know this is not. They want to say like, oh, this is kind of how dating is in the 2000s. And, you know, it's just no different than going on an app and swiping left and swiping right and having all these options. Like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is nothing to do with how dating works now. And it's because the bottom line is, when you go on this show, you barely get to spend any time with the person you're seeing. And if you do get a one-on-one during the season, at the end of that night, you can't go back home and text them. You can't go back home and sex them. You can't go back home and make a phone call to them and have right. this ongoing thing where you can literally talk to somebody every day that you're dating. So not only can you not do that, this person is also dating a bunch of other people that you're living with. Like, there's nothing realistic about this whatsoever. Yet at the end of 2 months, we're supposed to expect somebody to have an engagement. And that's just a product of the show. The engagement is just because the show wants you to. Any right. you ask any couple at the end of the show, they will tell you the relationship started once the engagement happened and the cameras went off. And then it's like, okay, now let's get to yeah. know this person. Let me get to see them in secret meetups while the show is off the air or is airing. I mean, that's when the relationship starts to develop, because you're like, okay, now I actually get to talk to this guy or this girl whenever I want, you know, and that's how you know, curate a relationship. And then in the case of Rachel and Tino, things go sideways. You know, that's just shit happens.
Steve, I got a pitch for you. You just triggered something. I'll split the money with you if we sell this to Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
Not engagement. When you pick the girl, a pastor or whatever comes, someone who got the thing from the internet, they come out and you marry. You marry on that podium right there.
Well, I know Fleiss would love that. I know that's what his ultimate goal is to marry someone on the show, but that would almost sound even more ridiculous for that to yeah, happen. If we just went over everything that I talked about. Well, I mean, at that point, are you talking about marrying the day of the final rose ceremony, or are you talking about marrying at the after the final rose?
No, well, marrying on the show, whenever they want to do it. But Steve, you need to get along with us here, okay? Let's start finding out. We got to make this work, because we need to save the show.
I mean, I've kind of always been under the, you know, the premise of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And clearly, if you've been on network television for 20 years and 46 seasons, clearly they're doing something right. But with the changing right. television times and all these new dating shows, the Too Hot to Handles, the Circles, the Love is Blinds and all that are becoming popular on the streaming services.
Yeah,
maybe you do need to do something a little bit different. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it does need to be drastic. I don't know. But the two Bachelorette thing is a change. But well, as we saw, it didn't work.
Well, traditional, like, you know, it's in form of The Bachelor to have a boon like that and fuck it up, because there was this thing where they were like, let's be respectful of one another's choices. There is a partition of sisterhood in between this pool of men. And it's like, no, you cannot allow that to happen. You need to produce on the fly and make these women hate each other, or figure out a way to prevent this, because we can't have Logan be the only one that's floating in between the two groups of people. He has just the most odd facial structure, and he didn't get kicked off of COVID or because of COVID. Sorry, I'm seeing red right now. I'm seeing red. This show makes me so mad. Not good for our mental health to watch.
Well, I mean, Yeah, I guess that is a... I just knew... I mean, I knew they weren't going to go and pit them against each other, even though it kind of... It never got to the point where Rachel and Gabby, like, disliked each other. And today they're still, you know, close, and they still talk about each other in very glowing terms. I just knew they weren't going to... Because that would have... That would have been more... I mean, this franchise has taken enough shit for having, you know, zero diversity or very little diversity on the show. The last thing they needed was to pit women against each other in 2022. It wasn't going to happen.
Well, you know, Mike Fleiss is, you know, he's an interesting character. I'm sometimes shocked he's still involved in some capacity with this thing. Because, yeah, I think... Some of his innovations probably would have involved like swords or something if he could have it his way. I don't know, but yeah. But hey, we're still watching it, and you know, we're thankful for the audience. And
it's honestly, it's rife for comedy. There's we have such a good time breaking the show down. We have, you know, an okay time watching the actual show, but it's fun to get in to the studio and talk about the just insanity of what this franchise is. So, you know, we joke about it, but we do have love for ABC's The Bachelor.
So let's talk a little bit about Monday night. Obviously, we know it's pretty structured. There isn't a whole hell of a lot that went on. Wasn't a lot of drama outside of the Madison girl who just lost it because she got a peck instead of, I guess, a full makeout. And even Zach wasn't feeling it. What she jumped out to you in episode one?
Sorry, Steve, but she was that poor girl was floating between self-awareness and some kind of psychopathy. I'm not sure what was going on, but she had these moments where she recognized that it was meaningless and that she was getting too worked up and that it was going to be embarrassing. And then she would fall back into this love story with a man she's known for literally 12 minutes. It was really shocking. But yeah, we'll get into whatever took place on the evening.
Yeah. For Pat, anything for you? I mean, overall, whether it was anything in the intro packages, I even thought the eight women's intro packages, there wasn't even one that had, usually we get at least one that's like totally off the wall and goofy and like, hey, I, you know, mount dead animals on my wall for a living. It was just, it was straight eight women that were very attractive, had decent jobs, some of them really good jobs. And I'm just like, okay, there's nothing goofy here. And like, we already went over the limo entrances. Nothing crazy there. I mean, what jumped out to you on episode one? Because nothing really did outside of Madison.
I was nervous when Dylan and I were bestowed the honor of being guests on your show. And then I realized it's episode one. And I was like, oh, fuck. That's always the worst episode because you can't track all the various conversations. But a couple things did stick out. Okay. So we get a little package on Zach in his past. And we learned that he was a bass player in the seventh grade. He had a little chubby face when he was in college. And I guess he was arrested for trafficking some Bolivian baking soda and did 5 years he didn't do. Okay. All right, that was fun. And I'm always grossed out by those limos because I don't think those limos exist anymore, and they're just parked in a warehouse in Van Nuys, and they pull them out just for night one of The Bachelor because I never see black limos drive around in Los Angeles anymore.
Interesting. Never really thought about that.
Yeah. We've done work to try and find the location of the warehouse, but they've got it pretty under wraps. No, I think we established a pretty clear villain night one. Am I picking up on the same thing? I'm sorry to be an annoying millennial, but the Southern one who is the villainess of the season, who I'm referring to, the one whose mama was in Barbara, Hanna-Barbera, Montana Shaman, or what's the band?
Barbara Mandrell, the Mandrell sisters.
The Mandrell sisters, sorry. I do not like her. I think she's mean. I think that she came in that pink for a very good reason. She's trying to stand out. I think that she... maybe the one who is reading the Game of Roses book or has read it numerous times. And like always happens, they eliminate my favorite person within the first three episodes. We always talk about Haley from Nick Vile's season. There's no way you remember who she is, but she was magnificent. I don't know why she was kicked off so early. But in this episode, we had some girl there who I think was stoned out of her mind. I'm pretty sure she was stoned out of her mind, and they kicked her off immediately. It was the young woman with the red lipstick who came in asking who's got the champagne. And again, I love her because I'm pretty sure she was baked out of her mind.
Okay. Let's see. A couple of things. Oh, with Madison. All right. So I thought that although that was the only drama of the night, the Madison kiss, it reminded me of the film Back to the Future. You know, when Marty McFly makes out with his mother,
kisses his mom in the car. Ick. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That was Zach getting the ick. And he's like, I think Zach would probably rather kiss his mother than Madison. But anyway, yeah, that uncomfortableness to just know based on a kiss, like, no, you're not my type. I was like, whoa. If you remember at the beginning of the episode, Sean Lowe, the piece of advice he gave him was don't make any rash decisions on your gut on the first night. And there you go. Like right out of the gate, he's like, yeah, I'm not feeling it with this girl. She's out of here. I mean, at the very worst, she was too nervous and in her head. Do I think he would have sent her packing during the rose ceremony? I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, what about it's hard to say because each season come and go. We get one season a year in terms of The Bachelor, and we get a group of women. Did this group of women overall stand out to you in terms of looks wise? Were you like, wow, this is a, you know, I mean, there's always attractive women on the show. Did this stand out more than any other season to you by any chance?
Yes and no, because this season, there were just a lot of very attractive blondes. And I know that the show has a pretty serious diversity problem, but this year seems to be leaning into the Dixie cutoff kind of vibe more than in most seasons. So yeah, there were a lot of really beautiful blonde women, tons of them. But that seems like Zach's type. I think that's what he's going to end up with, that or Greer. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm going to disagree with him because I listen to a podcast called Reality Steve, and I happen to know who the final four are, and he does not have a type. I'll say that.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Yeah, no, it's like her. Yeah, that's right.
It's all colors of the rainbow. Forgive me if I'm giving a spoiler away. But I think the girls are absolutely gorgeous, all of them. And, you know, the only thing, and this is, you know, because it's two straight guys talking about this, like I never want to be called misogynist, but I venture to guess none of these cast members have eaten more than 90 calories a day for the last 3 weeks. They are all so tiny little things. I actually feel bad, except for that one that was eating meatballs.
Yeah. I even forgot already who that was stuffing meatballs in his face on the first night. Nice.
That was Kat the dancer, and she looks like she dances.
Oh, Kat the dancer. That's right. That's right. Yes, that Kat. So we got, yeah, we've got a Kat, a Catherine, and a Katie on this show, which that'll just fuck with me for the whole season.
Yeah, multiple Victorias.
Two Victorias. Well, one of the Victorias went home, so thank God. I don't have to worry about that.
I think it's my favorite, Victoria, who came baked. Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of what else even happened on night one.
One thing that I picked up on was that he had this very uncomfortable, almost tick to him where he said hello in a very kind of creepy Lolita type way. It was like he had a French drawn on cartoon mustache. Whenever they came out of the limo, he was just like, oh, hello. It was just, Zach, you gotta stop doing that.
I did not pick up on that. My tick with him was I noticed, and I do it too when I watch back some of my Instagram lives. He closes his eyes when he talks to the camera, and I never really noticed that. You'll notice it now a lot, unless a producer told him after night one, you need to stop it. You need to try and keep your eyes open when you talk. But yeah. Just, and it's not a bad thing. It's just a tick. I have the same exact thing. Like when I'm talking, it's very hard for me because I'm not trained in TV to look straight ahead and not kind of close my eyes, and I didn't realize I did it until I watched stuff back. But yeah, he definitely does it.
Well, and lucky or unlucky for you, you do not have Mickey Mouse and whoever runs Disney administering some black site kind of corrective measures when the cameras when the cameras shut down. I think they'll whip Zach into shape. But another thing I noticed was that he's quite a bit of a kissing bandit. We had a lot of kissies on night one. There have been leads in the past who have been more protective or sacred over that first, you know, very important moment. But he seemed to have been doling it out quite a bit. I mean, he gave the one with the name tag a kiss right out of the limo. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
he's a kiss bandit.
I remember back in the day, and I don't want to say very far back in the day. I mean, like right around Ari season, maybe before that. So that we're talking 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, when the season's been on 20 years, that's not very long ago. I remember when the only person ever who got a kiss on the first night was the First Impression Rose recipient. And even that person sometimes didn't get a kiss. Now in recent seasons, there are multiple kisses on night one. He actually did set the record last night. He had 7, and it's never Whoa. in terms of ones that were shown. He might have kissed others and it was never shown, but 7 were shown, and that's the most that's ever been shown on night one. Bachelor Data keeps record of that, and yeah, she has. There is someone who keeps record of that, and of the ones that were shown, yeah, he kissed 7, and we've never had that many before.
But unlike, because Ari Leyendyke, he was the last kissing bandit that we noticed, but he didn't do it because I think he was emotionally attracted to the women. He'd be like, I wish you'd shut up. Okay, because I'm not listening. And then he'd just stick his tongue down their throat. Like, he had no attention span whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that was his get out of a conversation card free motive. And yeah, he made out with a lot of girls. Yeah.
He did. Now, Pat, you are very well aware, seemingly, it seems like, of the spoilers. So I can't have you answer this question. Dylan, are you aware of the spoilers, or at least who lasts long, or no?
No, Steve. Okay. The Bachelor is very sacred to me, and yeah. I don't traffic in your ruining of this tale of romance.
Okay, so this is a perfect question for you then. So just based on last night, and maybe you don't know names yet because obviously 30 women, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Name 4 women that stuck out to you last night or who you think's going far. I'm just curious.
You know, Steve.
You don't know their names, right? I don't blame
don't,
you.
Don't make me say one of the two black girls, because I don't want to say that sentence. I can't remember her name, but she's so strikingly beautiful. I think both of the African, well, there are more than the two.
Genevieve and Charity. Genevieve is the really, really tall one, and Charity is the one that he bonded with over.
And then, and then Brianna's the one who got the America's First Impression Rose on the After
right.
Rose.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Brianna and Genevieve, great. But I think Genevieve will go far. She should go far. But maybe that's bias. I think the evil one whose mom was in the Maryland sisters, what is it? the Mandrell sisters. I think that she's going to go far. If she doesn't cause too much trouble, she may get the boot because she's just too toxic. She's too toxic a presence. Greer seems like she's perfect for him.
Call her Winnie Cooper. She looks like Winnie Cooper.
She looks like Winnie Cooper. Yeah, I'm going to call her Winnie Cooper. And then I think one of the Catherines or the Catherine will probably go decently far. I think she was a skin nurse or something like that. We get better with the names as we go on.
The first day of school.
Yeah, sure. First day of school. We don't know names that well. But as we go on through the season, right at around week 4 or 5, we start to get everyone's names. And then we immediately change them to nicknames so that the audience once again has no idea who we're talking about. So it's kind of like a trademark.
Well,
Steve,
One of the things is, you know, this is 27 season 27 of The Bachelor. I don't think we ever had a woman in the previous going back to Clayton season. I don't think we ever had anybody who's named Genevieve on the show until we had Genevieve last season on Clayton season. And then actually this girl this season, her name is Genevieve. It just, you take off the V-E at the end. It's just Genevieve. Oh. So, but yeah. So we had a Genevieve last season, Genevieve this season, but I see what you're saying. Pat, what were you going to say?
Okay. So I want to tell Dylan, the Mandrell sister, there is no way that this man is into her. In fact, if you listen very closely to his conversation when she pulled out those flashcards and she said it was her artwork, he says, yeah, your work's amazing if you're recovering from a car accident. So, yeah, he did say that. He's not a fan of hers. Okay, so I actually, before I saw the list of Final Four, I actually picked one of the girls. So, and I won't say it because I don't want to ruin it for our audience. I know your audience probably already knows. And I believe that is the girl who goes to the finish line. We'll bleep it out. I think it's Charity. I think he picks Charity at the final altar or whatever the hell we call that. Here's my pick for Bachelorette. I think it's Catherine. I think that's how you say her name.
Yeah. Yeah.
She could be a villain too.
We know that the Bachelorette is usually picked from somebody. It's usually picked from somebody who makes from the Final Four. It's just always been. There's only been, I think, Hannah Brown was outside the Final Four. And off the top of my head, not many others, if any.
Well, Ari Lyandike, right? He wasn't a Final Four. And plus, he was
Emily Maynard's number two. She dumped him at the end.
Oh, he was. You know, yeah. You're right. I'm an idiot. Sorry. Yeah. And he hates the guy who was the number one guy, right?
Yeah. When they used to troll colleges together and hang out in sororities. And now, and then all of a sudden he turned on him. So, yeah.
That's right. Okay. So that's who I think. By the way, Hannah Brown season, when they picked her, I was like, the girl who couldn't complete or form a sentence on her first date with Colton. And she was amazing TV. So yeah. Whenever I always want to withhold my judgment until the first couple episodes, because some of these people that are on the unlikely picks can just be wonderful television. And she certainly was.
Well, not only that, remember on the After the Final Rose, when she was announced as the Bachelorette and they brought out five guys for her, she was even worse on live television. She, like, literally, we saw Zach, you know, blank and forget Bailey's name and all that. Hannah Brown was literally terrible on the night that they introduced her to the five guys. She had no idea what to say. She couldn't get out more than a sentence. And then all of a sudden her season delivers some of the most popular guys in the franchise. It was one of the most, you know, watched Bachelorette. I mean, her season is very well known, and yet it got off to such a horrible start. So yeah, I agree.
And to finish it off, she picked a guy who wrote a dog food commercial jingle.
Yeah.
Like, and then he dumped her like 2 weeks later. Just amazing.
Yeah. No, that was, it's fascinating. The whole show, the whole concept. See, the fact that we were able to pound out an hour just making fun of the show is the reason why I think the show has been on the air for 20 years. Because let's face it, at this point, people are just hate watching it, and people are watching it to criticize every single thing about it. And hate watching is way better for a television show than not watching at all or being totally indifferent about the show. And that's where, that's why I think it's been able to stick around. It's just,
I think that's a really good point. We've had so many people in our Facebook group say, you know, God damn it. All right, let's go again. Let's do this thing. Because it is, it's a Godfather 3 kind of moment every year. And once you're in it, you're in it. And you can leave at any time, but it Stockholm syndromes you a little bit. You can't get out.
No, I mean the contestants themselves is part of, you know, the Stockholm syndrome just being on the show. And yeah, I think for us as fans, it's just, if you're watching for love and you're watching for a love story, I think you're just watching the wrong show. You got to watch this for entertainment, because that's what it is. And if you get a love story out of it, hey, bonus, you know? But
right.
This is just to watch. And then now with so many podcasts, and you get to learn more about the contestants, and now with this feeder system into Bachelor in Paradise, because let's face it, most of the women that we saw last night are going to make up a majority of the female cast of this season of Paradise. So now as you're watching all season, you're breaking down, okay, who is going to be the queen of Paradise? Who is going to you know, be the absolute man killer down there that all the guys are going to go after? And, you know, it's like, we already know who, just off the first episode, we kind of know some of the women that are going to be literally first down to the beach on Paradise already.
Absolutely. And I, Steve, I know that we're wrapping up, but real quickly on Bachelor in Paradise, if anybody from ABC is listening, do not ever, ever make that show 35 weeks ever again. Just don't do it. Just stop doing it. You're going to burn us out. And we love Bachelor in Paradise, but don't make it so long and don't hire Aaron back again. I don't want to see him. He's the bad guy from Bloodsport and he's bad for the show.
Well, not only don't make it 35 weeks, don't start it in October. You know, that's the other thing. Like, I mean, they added on basically, I think, 5 episodes longer than they usually do. They usually have 11 or 12, and this Paradise season had 16. The problem was they didn't start it until September 27th. And usually they start the week after The Bachelorette ends, which is usually last week of July, first week of August, and then Paradise ends, because it airs 2 episodes a week for 6 weeks, mid-September.
Right.
But they didn't start Gabby and Rachel until July 11th, which I think that's going... The problem is, I don't know... In terms of spoiler stuff, I don't know about production schedule and television schedule this time around in 2023, but knowing that ABC has the NBA Finals and the NHL Finals now, I think The Bachelorette is going to get pushed back to July again, because they don't want to start and have to already, within week one or week two, take weeks off. And and we know that there's going to be a Monday night NBA final game, and there's going to be a Monday night NHL final game. And yeah, I think this is going to be the norm. But that Bachelorette's not going to start till July, and Paradise isn't going to start till end of September now and go into November. Like you said, you're shopping for Christmas gifts by the time this thing ends.
Yeah, we're in Black Friday stampedes, and we're trying to get home to watch the 4th hour of Bachelor in Paradise. I mean, it's not good to do to Americans.
Yeah, it was rough. And yeah, I mean, to have it for 16 episodes and Monday and Tuesday night, 2 hours each night. I remember back in the day when the Monday show was 2 hours and Tuesday was just an hour. It's like, okay, I can handle that. Right. But two hours Monday and Tuesday, and like you said, 50 people, or it was like, I think the exact number was 44, but who's counting? It's basically 50 people to show up on a particular season. And we already know that if you're showing up in episode 5 or 6, you're done. There's no point to even bring anybody on at that point. Not going to form any sort of connection. The Lindsay girl comes on and asks Logan out, and he's like, Kate, what do you think? Absolutely not. Okay, well, sorry, Lindsay, I can't go out with you. And then she's like, all right, well, then I'm out of here. I'm bouncing. See ya.
Yeah, the show has a little bit of an issue, because the people that come in the towards the end are like the two kids they're still living with mom, and she's making gravy on Sunday that they need to get back home to. And they're trying to go after this like 38-year-old woman from Australia. And it's like, what are we doing here? Why is this happening? But you know, by the same token, you don't want to watch the prom king and queen of the island just fall in love and go on one-on-ones for, you know, 4 weeks with no competition or struggle. So, you know, it's not as plagued a franchise. It's the best part of The Bachelor, but they, you know, they still got some kinks to work out, which they won't, because it's ABC and Mike Fleiss.
Yeah, exactly. Well, guys, I really appreciate you coming on. First time we had you on. Definitely going to have you on again in the future. Check it out. Dylan Warren and Patrick Hickey. It is Bad TV is the podcast. Thanks again, guys, for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Your reputation precedes you. You're great, Steve. Thanks for having us on.
No, thank you.
Bye, Steve.
Bye. Well, thanks to Dylan and Patrick for coming on. Really appreciated that. A lot of fun talking about two guys who, you know, let's face it, a lot of women watch this show, and sometimes it's fun to watch with guys. And they look at the show kind of like I do. It's silly. Don't take it seriously, nor should any of you. And it's just entertainment. So let's have entertainment without being mean. And I don't think there was anything mean said on that, outside of maybe the dog reference. But, you know, we know what Dylan was getting at with that. But thanks again to Dylan, Pat, for coming on. Really appreciate it. Thank you all for listening. Please rate, subscribe, and review in Apple Podcasts. Much appreciated. We're back next week with yet another episode. So until then, for Dylan Warren, Patrick Hickey, I'm Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. And I will talk to you next week. See you.